So good morning then, and welcome back to Thought for the Day. It's been a little while since I've been here delivering the Thought for the Day. So as we begin this new series in Ephesians, I just want to give you a little bit of a heads up as to what we're heading into. So we're looking at this letter to the Ephesians, and it's a letter that Paul the Apostle has written. He wrote it to the church somewhere around AD 62. Now Ephesus is a harbour city, around the size of Southampton, well, at least in population anyway. It's a centre of trade and of politics. There's a large Jewish settlement there. It's the site of Diana and Diana's temple. And unlike Paul's other letters, it's not written to confront a particular issue in the church, but it does contain some warnings as we go through it. In fact, the believers here, as Paul writes to them, are considered by Paul to be faithful. Maybe that's because they had stood the difficulties that had been stirred up for them in the riot that was that took place when Paul was there, and that riot which forced Paul and his companions to leave. And you can read about that in Acts. And the first six verses that Dave highlighted for us yesterday set the scene of the sovereignty of God in the beginning of this and every other church. He's in control of who is within the church, the benefits that the church will enjoy and the blessings that they will receive. This honoured position comes to us as a free gift given by the one that the Father loves. And the one that the Father loves, we know, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's begin with a word of prayer before we come to today's thought. Loving Father, as we come to you this morning, we thank you that as we look at your word, as we look particularly at this book of Ephesians, we can know something of your plan for us. We can know something of you at work in our lives. And so we pray, Lord, that you'd open this to us now as we read it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're reading then this morning, we're reading verses 7 through to 10. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. So we're looking then at this business of redemption in Ephesians 1, 7 to 10. And it's always good, isn't it, to have a plan with any kind of military or strategic advance. To go in without a plan spells failure. So we as the people of God should be very relieved that God has a plan. He has always had a plan. Yesterday's verse 4 tells us that even before this world began, God had planned to save. He'd planned to rescue a people for himself. Now that rescue plan hinged on one person, not just any person, but God's Son, Jesus Christ. That plan was to bring grace and peace to a world that had lost both. This plan was anything but a hastily thrown together, let's hope for the best kind of affair. Rather, it was a costly, difficult, but a plan certain to win. And the cost, of course, was entirely borne by God, most particularly by Jesus Christ. We had rebelled against God's rule and been sold into slavery. That sin bound us. It dominated our lives and we could not get free from it. Well, Jesus Christ went to the cross and he paid with his own life the cost of sin. He paid our slave price, if you like, in order that we might be redeemed. That's brought back to a new life of freedom. Now, all of our sin is now forgiven and we are shown the riches of God's grace. And those riches are what God lavishes upon his people. Lavished is a word that conjures up an image, doesn't it, of a well-laden table overflowing with food. Food like you've never seen before. More than you could ever eat. Fine meats and delicious pies and vegetables and potatoes and sauces and gravies. And desserts without number and fruit that's ripe and in abundance. That's that whole image of the lavishing on of God's riches to us. But unlike such a table of abundance that could easily become a scene of gluttony, those riches that God has given to us come with wisdom and understanding. So God's abundance will be enjoyed in such a way as to enhance its glory and not to diminish it. That's the problem with any kind of image that we show of the lavishing of goods upon someone. It can be misused. But here we understand that the lavishing of God's grace upon our lives comes to us in such a way as that we can use it for God's glory. Now, God's riches of his grace come to us wrapped in the plan that he has made, the plan that God has revealed to us, that of restoration of all that has been lost to the marring effects of sin. Just as sin has ruined everything, so God wants everything to be made right. And that's the ultimate end of his plan, as it were, that all things will be made right, all things will be put back into that position of being under the Lord Jesus Christ. And the redemption is just the beginning of the plan. The end of the plan will be when all is put right under that headship of Christ. Now, we're speaking, of course, of his return to collect his radiant bride. Dave was bringing that up yesterday. And the bride will be there, then be holy and blameless. So she will be spotless as God has planned. And as we live between the redemption and Christ's return, we live excited because of the saving grace already given. So that redemption, the transforming grace at work in us now. So that ongoing sanctification, and the grace of liberty when finally all things will be made right at Christ's second coming, as we stand in glory, as we enjoy the glory of God forevermore. And knowing that plan means then that we can deal with all circumstances as they come our way, acknowledging that God has not finished with us yet. So sometimes we might get disturbed about the things that we face in this life, but we don't need to do that, get disturbed in that way, when we understand God's overarching plan of rescuing his people. In reality, the big plan is that all will acknowledge the lordship of Christ. And it's all about that process in our lives of acknowledging the lordship of Christ, submitting to him and walking in his ways. And that's what we can delight in as we acknowledge that grace poured out upon us this day. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as we've thought about this morning, we ask that you would help us to rejoice in the grace that has been lavished upon us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to that day when we will be, as it were, fully redeemed, or we will be with God forever, and that we will enjoy his presence and his power at work in our world without any sin. And we just look forward to that. And we look forward to your grace poured out upon us this day too. In Jesus' name, amen.